call to order the Executive Board meeting of Sussex Academy on September 20th, 2017 at 3:36 PM. And members present are, or people present, I guess, Susan Mitchell, Board President.
That's an announcement.
Jen Scott, Board Vice President.
Chris Benjamin, Board Member.
Alan Stafford, Director.
Lance Mainlove, Member.
Joe Shell, Member.
Andrea Rogers, Board Secretary.
Debbie Beans, Member.
Janet Owens, Director.
Denise Westbrook, Member.
Trish Oliphant, Director.
We also have two teachers with us, Karen Willey and Ms. Desmond.
Teresa
Desmond. And our accountant with Barbicane Thornton Company, Tim Sawyer, and two members of the public.
The Daytons.
The Daytons.
Daytons. All right. First order of business, I'd like to make a motion to amend the agenda. We have our auditor here, and I would like to move him up to closer to the beginning of the meeting with his report and put him in item four, right after A, right after the school-wide expedition. Make a motion to amend the agenda.
Motion.
Any discussion? Or second? Anybody second?
Yes.
Joe seconds. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. I'd like to, I was going to do that, just quickly, the board minutes. We have the board minutes from our last meeting, which was on June 14th. I'm going to make a motion to amend the minute, I mean, to approve the minutes. Does anybody have any points for discussion? Yes, Joe.
About 3/4 of the way down the first page, it says monthly board financial report. Doesn't say who reported. I'm assuming it was Alan, if Alan was there, or Steve, but I don't think Steve was there. So who did the report for the monthly board financial report?
I'm just looking.
This is really an Andrea question.
Steve Burke was absent, so I believe it was Alan that made the report.
Sure, yep.
Right, so the, so Joe would like to see that amended to add that the report was made by Alan Stafford. Is that all right with everybody?
Yes.
Right. So I'm going to amend my motion to approve the minutes from the June meeting with the addition of that Alan Stafford made the report on the monthly financial report.
Susie, I have one more if you don't mind.
Okay.
On the second page, there's a reference to FSF/PHRST roles. I have no clue what that stands for.
Where are you on the second page?
On the second page of the minutes.
Top, bottom, middle?
It's
third one down.
It's FSF is first state financials, and first is payroll human resource.
Third page.
Third page?
We can't use initials if you want.
No, that's why I'm giving.
Oh, I see it.
So that if Andrew doesn't know what it means, just clarifying, first state financials and payroll.
I do know what it meant, but I don't think anybody presented it that way at night.
All right.
Okay, so we want it spelled out?
Anything else, Joe?
Just what it is. I'm not sure I understand what it is. I understand now the words that go with the acronym, but what is it?
They're the systems that the state has for paying, doing payroll and human resource, like benefits. And then the FSF is the financial system for paying all the bills and where I check the reports to see what our balances are.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So would you like to have first day financial, the acronym, the words behind the acronym spelled out and a description of what they are added to the minutes there?
Mm-hmm. I would.
All right. I think it's a good idea. Any other changes? Okay, I will revise. Would anyone like to make a motion to approve the June minutes with an addition of Alan Stafford making the financial report and the acronym The words behind the acronym FSF, PHRST, spelled out in a description of what that means.
I will make the motion. I will present the motion as amended.
I'll second.
Joe seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, next on the agenda, school-wide expedition, Ms. Desmond and Ms. Willie.
I've asked Ms. Willie and Ms. Desmond to be here as under the director's report to talk about our school-wide expedition because it impacts the entire school community, and it is something that they have been working very diligently on along with a number of faculty members. So I thought it would be good for the board to know what is being planned. So I'd like to introduce Mrs. Willie and Ms. Desmond. Ms. Willie's going to go to hockey practice after she's done.
Just clarify that.
Just take the floor wherever you want to be. You want to be up here, there? Probably standing. I think standing would probably be better.
She's dancing.
She's in standing. Just, I think you're heard better, and people pay attention better.
Okay. So before we talk about this year's school-wide expedition, we thought it might be a good idea to just back up a little bit and talk about a little bit of the history of our expeditions. And so when the school was established with the charter, expeditionary learning was chosen as a model for the school. And expeditionary learning is one of the big components is having learning expeditions. And we don't mean expeditions like backpacks and hiking boots and, you know, no hot coffee and showers and stuff, but more integrated units that cross-curriculum could be, for us and the history on the other side of town, it could be whole school, and some of our, I think, most successful had themes of think globally, act locally. We did that one, I think, 3 times. Winning the White House. Or it could be a team, and I think some of our favorites on a team, Medieval Times, Go with the Flow, Watersheds, All Greek to Me. Or it could be even just within a classroom over the year. So for civics, which is one of my subjects, the idea, and Justice for All? Is a way to kind of explore. The kids love these expeditions, and my own kids and then students when they've left here come back and tell us that they were the most memorable and meaningful experiences for them, and that they've gone on to college and some of these topics like think globally, look locally, they've started clubs and organizations or have written college papers about some of these expedition topics. So we know when we talk about best practices at Sussex Academy, these expeditions are the best of what we do together. And so recently, we haven't had as many school-wide expeditions because we've been making a lot of adjustments here. Last year, we had one, winning the White House, that was about the election. It was condensed in 1 week beforehand, and it was crazy good fun. What we've noticed, though, getting into this year's, is that as we grow and we have 9, 10, 11, and 12-year-olds, we now are starting to deal with different kind of issues in our school. And I also think, just from working with the teenagers, the role that social media plays in their life and the influence it has on them also is carrying into school. And it's not always in a positive way. So at the end of last year, you know, Trish kind of threw out the idea of building a school-wide expedition around the ideas of diversity, kindness, acceptance. And so in the summer, that's where Karen and I started for both levels. What can we do content-related that's going to, and we, the papers we have are in your packet, that can kind of carry out those themes. As we got going, I kind of changed thinking that it's really a one-time school-wide expedition to, I think what we're creating is a program that could be carried out every year as a behavioral building school culture program. And so from there, we wanted to share some of the details, and we'll start with
middle school. So I have the middle school. We decided this year to do it, instead of doing it through all 5 classes and all 3 teams, to focus on the humanities. So the classes, the meat potatoes will be done through reading, writing, and social studies. We do have a kickoff plan with, well, we have kind of two kickoffs. We have a local artist coming in to do the mural with us. And he's coming October 22nd. It's kind of the kickoff for the artist part, but then we have another kickoff plan for the academic piece, if you want to call it that. The guiding questions, though, even though we're scaffolding from middle to high, the guiding questions are going to stay the same for all sixth grade levels, not seven. Thank you. And they are, who am I and what makes me me? So that identity piece is the first piece. The second one is, how does this connect me to others? So now we're kind of reaching out and making that bridge. And then how can I embrace diversity? We kind of tore out the word tolerate, because it's about embracing, it's about making everybody welcome, not just tolerating people. So we changed the wording and we're going to kind of point that out to the kids when we start. Our meat and potatoes week is November 13th to 17th. So through those 5 days in social studies, reading and writing, the kids will be focusing on activities that hit those three questions. We have 3 anchor texts that we will be using. Spork will be done in the writing classes, and it's about a spork who is not welcome with the spoons or the forks because he doesn't fit either one of them. Okay. So the writing people are going to take off with that one. It's a bit
horrible. And this, you're just talking about what's happening in the middle school?
This is just middle school, yeah. Rhyme Schemer is going to be done in the reading classes, and this is a book that's written in verse, so it's all through poetry versus regular writing. And this is about a bully who comes to realize that the kid that he's bullying actually has some issues, and he kind of becomes a little more empathetic about what's happening in that child's life. So we have that kind of covered. And then throughout the teams, in all the 3 classes, we'll be doing the Choose Kind Journal, where we pick writing prompts out, and the kids keep a kindness journal throughout. We hope to continue through the entire year. So they, and that may just, it starts out with all of us, but may focus on the writing classes as the year progresses.
What are they doing then? Put their...
They have a composition book, yep, and they will carry that with them from class to class to class. For that week, they will do a journal prompt in each class. We'll do some discussion. Not everyone will share, but just some ideas. And then I think the writing teachers will continue that throughout the year. So they may do kindness journal writings every Friday. So that would be kind of what Teresa was mentioning. We're not going to just stop this on the 17th of November. It will continue throughout the year with different activities. They're same concept as the high school's doing, but they're a little bit different activities, but there are some that are the same. We do have a field trip planned where you're going to visit the, go to D.C. and see the American history, where there are sites, and I didn't put that in the packet, I don't think. Karen Hughes has come up with a scavenger hunt. The kids are going to go to various sites about diversity through the history of what's happened, how we have become more tolerant and start to embrace diversity through the history, and then we bring it back to current day. Then we are going to do our year-long follow-ups. And a lot of this ties in with what high school does. Teresa had a phenomenal idea, kind of a theme, don't be a bystander, be an upstander. So instead of standing by and watching someone be bullied, do something about it. Even if you're just coming to an adult, but do something about it. Mm-hmm. So we hope to plan upstander days where possibly on the PLC days, because they're already early release days, we do an activity in the middle school and the high school. They may be different activities, year on the kids' ages, so we're going to scaffold again, but there will be something every month to bring the kids back to the theme of diversity, kindness, and acceptance. So it's not just, like Teresa said, wham, bam, there you go for a week. It's going to carry the entire year, and then hopefully throughout next year. One of the faults we have was to do just even something as simple as switching up lunches. For that day, you draw a number, you sit at that table, and we have conversation starters for you. So you're not sitting with your usual clique of friends, you're sitting with other kids, and you've already got stuff for you to talk about, so you don't just have to sit and stare at each other. Go with that. Some of the other things that we have planned in the middle school, and again, some of this is still kind of up in the air, because as we finalize and solidify things, some things have changed. The field trip changed a little bit because of busing issues, or the museum wasn't open, the original one we wanted to go to, or the day we wanted to go. So we're kind of still playing around with things. I would love to see something tangible that we use throughout the year. Sort of like Red Ribbon Week, but they have, you can get them personalized, whether we do it with Common Ground, which is the theme, the title, or just something else, but one of the little elastic bracelets that the kids can wear all year as a constant tangible reminder, hey, you know, this is, I need to think about this, I need to think before I speak, or I need to help out so-and-so if we're having a rough time. And you guys have this in the board packet, yeah.
No, I think I'm just gonna add to that, you know, we want to use this as an opportunity for the kids to own this and be really proud about building a school community where there's support for one another. And so I think that in both sides of the building, the more opportunities we provide for them to, we were calling the lunch day, mix it up. And the more opportunities we provide for mixing it up, the more they're going to realize those connections. And that theme of common ground, let's keep presenting them opportunities, whether it's through a class activity, a social activity, for them to find those connections. So We have a couple activities that are more visual for them to, and you can see on the high school one, starting with identity map of themselves and who they are in various situations, and then make those connections from 6 through 12. I'm going to keep going.
Yep, keep going.
So one thing that in the high school, it might be a little bit more is and definitely lots of kids talked to me about it last year, is the issue of cyberbullying. Even though it's happening outside of school, they are not able to leave it outside of school, and it carries in. And some of our incidents and kind of trouble resulted from things that had started outside of school. And so I did, you know, the research over the summer and started pulling ideas of social studies content and just general things. But my best thing with the high school is going to the kids. So I, in the first week of school, sat down with my criminal justice class and my history class, which are 10th and 11th graders, and I said, here's what the idea is for the school-wide. Here's kind of what we want to have happen. Tell me what you think. And they're so great because they feel this is their school, and so they have no problems telling me what they think we should do. And so we started talking about something that was a light bulb for me in this process. And that they, you know, we were talking about, it's not like we have a ton of behavior incidents here like in some other schools. But when they do happen, it's big. And I would say we have 99% of our kids are the nicest kids in the whole world. But I know that last year when there were a couple incidents, and here's where I kind of got to the upstanders, is when we had one boy fighting with another boy, during that time, because it was right outside my classroom, 100 people walked by and did nothing. Mm-hmm. And every one of them are great kids. And so sitting here, we just kind of were sitting in a circle talking, and they honestly said, we don't know what to do. You know, we honestly did not know what to say or what to do. And from that moment, it was like, all right, I'm kind of flipping my direction to, let's focus on providing activities and skills, not only to build common ground, but to help them feel like they know some things to say and do, and it's a common language throughout the school so that everybody has that same understanding. So that's a big part of the activities.
Levin Armin, please report to the office.
And then when I asked the class, well, what do you think activities we should do and be reasonable with budget and time and all that? And they came up with an idea that, well, we should have assemblies that focus on all these positive things. And I thought, yeah, how often do we just worry about the stats for the negatives and we don't do enough recognition? So from there I said, well, maybe you guys want to be in charge of all that. And they said, yeah, we do. I said, okay.
Perfect.
And then I said, well, I'll get a couple other people and we'll make a leadership team and I'll be your helper and you can drive this. And I thought, how great that you know, we have these assemblies and I'm just on the side and the voices are coming from the students themselves. Mm-hmm. So I have, you know, we talked about an idea for a format, and then just 2 days ago I found out that there was a budget for this, which I didn't know. So now my ideas are even bigger about things. That we can kind of have this celebration, some inspirational things, but carry it out throughout the year. Mm-hmm. For the high school, a field trip is just so much harder than in middle school. And then when you're talking about the IB hours and everybody has a different teacher, I don't know about high school and field trip, but I do have in mind activities that could take place right here that accomplish those goals of mixing mm-hmm. it up, finding the common ground, celebrating what's happening, that we might not need to disrupt mm-hmm. the whole picture and leave the building. So English has definitely done some things with the novel. They're going to take place between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Tomorrow we're having two poets. Trish, and I, maybe you would have talked about
They're called the Twin Poets. They are the poet laureates mm-hmm. in Delaware. They performed here last year, but they're going to perform this year for the high school. They are African-American gentlemen who come from Wilmington, Delaware, and have dealt in many areas with city troubled youth, incarcerated and veterans. So they are their poetry speaks to about those who have been troubled, and we'll see what they bring. I have not heard them before. It is being sponsored by the Freeman Foundation, so they are taking these poets into every school district, mm-hmm. as well as the Freeman Foundation is sponsoring the John Donato that we're using at the middle school. I'm sorry.
Okay, and then I would say traditionally there are some components of an expedition that we're carrying over now, and one of those is that they have some type of final project. And what I usually do in my classroom, I kind of in my head, it's like voice and choice, meaning I give them a menu of ideas for projects that kind of address their strengths or interests, and that their voice or ideas or learning or experience come out of that. And so we have some ideas for final projects for the high school that then can be shared. And I hope I see this as a 6 through 12 assembly to kind of showcase and show off these student-generated projects at the end of the year.
Wonderful.
Sounds fabulous.
It does.
Thank you.
We're
coming.
Thank you, ladies. They're
the go-to. I just have one small comment, which is hopefully. So in terms of diversity, obviously, like immediately you think about racial diversity,
right.
but there's other forms
right.
of diversity that I know you guys are already thinking about, everything from not just religion, but special needs and all that kind of stuff, and kind of weaving all that
yes.
in.
We even talked about gender, we talked about
mm-hmm.
special needs, we talked about physical handicaps, we
mm-hmm.
about, we're looking at guest speakers, Mrs. K's on that piece, but it may not happen that week we're doing the meat and potatoes, but we're thinking about, especially physically, there's actually need to find guest speakers for that.
Well, and I was going to say, if you have ideas about speakers, bring it to the board, because
yeah,
we know
absolutely.
A lot of people. And
we talked to the Native Americans, mm-hmm. but they talk about the history, not so much the diversity piece. So that one didn't turn out as
right.
well.
And,
so, you guys
and
have
the outreach group had given, they had a number of resources and this
yes.
And
I'll say that's what I started with. I printed out the packet they came up with, and that was my starting point. And then once, I've since that meetings with the kids, I've had other ones come up and say, can I be on this team? And so once I can meet with this team, and I have mapped out dates and themes for these assemblies, I think I'll give that
sure.
to you,
that's
and then
great.
That's where we can maybe pull in. I'd love to have one student speaker each assembly, and maybe community speaker
that's
about
great.
That topic.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
That's where we're rolling.
Yep. So if board members have ideas, you'd like us to send them your way?
You can email
all right.
either or all of us.
Absolutely.
Great. And I just, this is the booklet our outreach
right.
committee
mm-hmm.
did, and I'll pass it around so everybody can look, because I thought it was pretty impressive myself.
Mm-hmm.
Not work.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You can say more. She's not going
to
let my daughter run hard
and fast.
Right.
Okay, next on the director's report.
Open
house.
We're going to
move.
No,
oh,
auditor.
I'm sorry.
We're
auditor. Moving
to the auditor. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Tim, you're on. Did anyone not get one of the packets?
I'll just share hers right now.
Everybody have one?
Yes.
I wrote a lot of it.
Everyone, my name is Tim Sawyer. I'm a manager with Barbicane & Porter & Company. As part of the annual audit process, you know, we come and meet with you and go over the audit results. We also meet with the CBOC committee, and Pam Baker, a lot of you are probably familiar with, came down yesterday and met with the CBOC committee. So it's my turn today. We're going to go over in a very top level, brief, synopsis of the audit. I'm not going to dive into the actual statements too much unless you have any questions. So if you want to turn to page 2 of the audit results, I'm going to start off with the status and report section. So we were on site and conducted our field work for the audit the week. We finished up on August 4th here, so we come on site for a week and bug Alan and Franny for all kinds of information.
No, I was in Canada.
It was so bad that Alan was here for like a day and then went on vacation. No, he was actually concerned about that and reached out to us beforehand that we were okay with him going. We issued unmodified or what are known as clean audit opinions, which are obviously the highest that you can get, and listed there are the different opinion units within the financial statements. And so, like I said, there were no issues. There were no material correcting entries as part of the audit process. In your internal control system surrounding your processing of transactions, your cash receipts, cash disbursements, and payroll were all operating effectively. As part of the audit, we also helped kind of pull together a couple of the footnotes. So that's another area as we've been moving forward and the standards are changing for us. We're now reporting in there to you that, you know, we do assist with that piece of the audit. The open items, there's one really open item left. And that is the state of Delaware has a agreed upon procedures report issued on a quarterly basis. They have an outside accounting firm that comes in and does their cash reconciliations to make sure that there are enough cash at the state level to cover all the appropriations they give out to the school districts and different agencies, as well as your charter schools. That report is still not out. I checked again this morning. Last year it was already issued at this point in time, so we're hoping that that comes out soon. That'll be the last piece, and we will need that to finish our audit documentation. So we're bringing it up to just in case that doesn't come out. We won't be able to issue the final report, but we will at least send in drafts for everybody to the Department of Education and AOA by the September 30th deadline. And on pages 3 and 4, we have a couple of charts. Starting on page 3, that's a brief overview of your cash, your capital assets, and your debt. So you can see that your cash went up from 1.9, almost 2 million to 2.3 million. So you're in a good cash position. Now for the school itself, the capital assets are really, you know, more equipment related stuff that's inside the school as opposed to school buildings and all that stuff. So. They did go up a little bit from 836 to 888. You have a capital, I think there's two capital lease payables, but the major one there is on one of the buses. So you have very little actual debt tied into your assets. So your investment in capital assets is basically the capital assets less any of that related debt number. Your fund balance, you don't really have any assigned or restricted fund balance. So basically everything you have is available for the operations of the school, and that increased from almost 1.3 million to about 1.5 million. So you're in good position there as your fund balance goes. The big numbers are on page 4.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
1.3 to 1.5 sounds great to us, but how is this in relationship, if you know, to other schools of comparable size?
Some are, you're in line probably with the best, and then there are others that are not as good as yours. You guys have good fiscal management here.
Because I know the word no.
That's true. I got one of those.
Okay, on page 4, the first chart, the net pension liability. For some of you that have been on the board for a few years, there was a GASB, which is Governmental Accounting Standards Board. GASB 68 came out a few years ago and required all governments, which as a component unit of the state, also makes you required, you have to pick up your proportionate share of the state's pension liability and report it as a liability on your financial statements. When we started that in 2015, you were at $376,000. In 2016, it went to $822,000, and this year it's jumped to $2.2 million. In the chart below, you start off with the funding piece of the pension plan. It was 95.8% funded. It dropped to 92.6%, and this last year it's now at 84.1%.
So that for the school or that for the state?
That's for the state.
That's the state, yeah.
So they're losing, making, or losing ground on having full funding?
Correct.
And the numbers you said for us, we're doing the same, we're losing.
Right, yeah, because your liability's going up, so your proportionate share of that liability, as the state's plan gets less funded, their liability's going up, so then your proportion is also going up as well.
Does that mean the piece that's ours, this $2,271,000, is that for our teachers, or is that our share of the state's overall?
Basically, what they do is when they do a actuarial evaluation, they look at your mix of your teachers and all that are here, and so that, yeah, that's proportioned out based on the teachers you have at the school. And they do that evaluation every year, so depending on teachers.
Well, it's all staff.
Coming and coming. All staff, yeah, but mainly teachers, but yeah, but they look at the mix of your teachers here, so I mean, if you have younger teachers or older teachers, they kind of figure out those proportions and do all the calculations based on the different assumptions.
So the, I just want to understand, is the assets that we have as part of the state's pension fund are $2.2 million less than we would owe if everybody dies when they're supposed to, and retires when they're supposed to?
Correct, yeah, yeah. You figure if everybody retired right now, that would be the liability that's assigned to the school. It's not something you actually have to pay, because it's still paid at the state level. It's just your share that, by the accounting standards, you're required to put.
Yeah, that's exactly, yeah, that's what I'm writing.
Yeah, it's a liability that's on your books, it's required, but it's one that you really have no control over, because the state runs the plan. They're the ones that are taking, you know, care of that liability. You know, it's kind of, there are a couple different things with the charter schools, with the state employees that the state pays, that, you know, you're not, you, it's assigned to you, but you don't have to actually physically cut the check for it.
Okay,
you should have led with that.
Yeah.
But it's on our books, right? So does our reserves then balance that out? Does that sort of tie into how much we have to have in reserves, or?
It doesn't have anything really to tie in with your reserves, but let's see.
It's a liability, you have to have assets, right? To have a balance to cover, right?
Just wait.
Sure.
Just wait till the next part of this.
That's the next thing, thank you, clear.
It's a good segue. Right now, so at 6/30/17, your net position is $1.5 million. So that means that your assets and your deferred outflows of resources, which is a term related to the pension liability, exceed your liabilities and your deferred inflows by $1.5 million. So right now, you don't look too bad.
He's not anywhere in here. Okay.
No. Yeah. No, I was just. Okay. I brought extra resources. The last bar in that chart on the net pension liability, the OPEB, which stands for other post-employment benefits, is the health insurance piece to the state plan. There's a separate plan for that. So as retirees, you know, retire and then start drawing on those health and benefits for the health insurance that's been promised to them, that plan is 4.2% funded. The current liability on that plan is $7.15 billion. Your proportion is almost $10.8 million. That liability goes on your books starting next year.
$10.8 million.
Yes.
This big blue bar
is
right
that
there.
Another one we don't have to pay?
That's another one you don't have to pay, okay. But it will go on your books, and that's going to take that $1.5 million net position,
okay,
and throw you into a large deficit.
Correct.
That's more than our whole annual budget.
Correct.
So can I assume that when the charter school office and the people up at the department take a look at, does that play into
the school,
our financial performance framework?
Yeah.
What they
and are
do,
they gonna fix it?
Well, what they do there is that they haven't like issued a new definition yet, but we do know that when they calculate your ratios, they back out the net pension liability.
Okay.
And it's our understanding that they will also back out the OPEB liability.
Okay.
Because if they don't, nobody would.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah, nobody would
pass.
Everyone would be getting a rating
right
there.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And solvent.
All you guys stay healthy forever.
Yeah. And never retire.
Never retire, right.
But I'm saying, you know, that's your proportion. In the middle of that chart on the bottom of page four is your percentage. So you're at, in 2015, when we started it, you were at 0.10%. Then you went to 0.12 and you went up to 0.15. That's because, you know, you've been adding teachers as you've been adding students and all. So your proportion is going up slightly. But, you know, so you're looking at really huge numbers when you're thinking you're at 0.15%.
So what created the underfunding is a lack of contribution by the state plus significant increase in medical costs?
Well, they're two different things. So you have to take them, the pension separate from the the medical. The medical is basically what they call a pay-as-you-go program.
Yeah.
So they fund that as they have to. So that's why it's got the 4.2% funded balance, because they basically need to pay it as they go. Now the pension is obviously, you know, based on the calculations of when people are going to retire, what the expected benefits that they need for those, what the contributions to the plan is, and then of course there's also the piece of how the market performs, the investments in that go up or down.
But I mean, it's such a giant change versus prior year. What's the actuarial change? It can't just be headcount here, right? So
right.
Did the return go down?
Well, some of the return went down, and that's why you're looking at the funding piece. The percent of the plan that's funded has gone down over the last 3 years. So as they do their calculations and figure out what their projected liabilities are, and then they look at the assets that they have to pay those, that deficit has been growing over the last 3 years, so then your proportion goes up. Which is the very bottom thing. Your liability jumped 176%.
And our headcount did not.
Right.
So it just looks inordinate in terms of what happened to the total obligation. And it can't just be funding. It must be return on assets.
That's probably a big portion of it. That's why that percent funded of the plan has gone down. The next two pages, 5 and 6, as part of the audit, we take a look at the financial performance framework piece. There, you're in good shape. The only area, and because the school's growing, is the enrollment variance. It's you're at 89.2%, where you're supposed to be at 95%. So as you add those additional students now and start to fill out all the grades, that should move over into the meets as you go into the future. But all your other ratios and all are good. You're meeting standards on all the other.
Do you remember last year, how that compared to last year?
That is last year.
It's still for the year. The prior year.
I think it was about this.
So this year is probably going to be, because our authorized enrollment is 770.
776. And right now, today, we're sitting at 98% of that.
Okay.
Our enrollment today is 98%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Looking for you.
We've the last 4 years, ever since we started the high school, we've been about 90%.
Okay.
And so we have to make comment on that in the annual report, as well as, I'm not sure if we need to add anything,
I've already put it in the charter renewal application.
It's based on your capacity or your budgeted enrollment figures that your unit calculation was based on?
When we went for our charter,
it's based on what we tell us they say our enrollment is going to be.
When we went for our charter modification, we mapped out what our enrollment was going to be for the 5-year period of this current charter.
Okay.
And each year we increased it by 110 kids. And we didn't bring in 110 high school students each year.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Till this year.
So, anybody have any questions about any of the financial framework?
Do you count the amount that the school pays to the foundation in order to pay USDA as debt?
No, because it's not.
But it is a debt service obligation. It's a lease obligation.
Lease obligation, yeah. It's not considered.
So we're talking about leases on buses, which are kind of chicken feed compared to the other.
It's in the notes, yeah.
In the financial statements, the lease is disclosed to the foundation, but that's actually considered an operating lease, so it doesn't qualify as debt, whereas the capital lease is almost like, when you run through a different thing, it's like buying the bus yourself.
Right.
So the foundation owning the building and just operating it to the school, it's an operating lease, so it doesn't qualify as debt for these calculations.
Okay.